think that's you. I think we're both hitting that area where, you know, we strive so hard to let go of all those things that, you know, projections or beliefs or stuff like that. And then there comes a point where you truly do embrace your whole self.
Yes.
And I think that's where it's like, you know, whether we want to give it a name of queendom or divine feminine or masculine, but it comes a point where you're just like, I know who the fuck I am. I know who the fuck I am. And I feel like that's the same with me. I'm like, I feel like I'm just like, no, I know who I am. You like it, you don't like it, but I know who I am. And for us both, I think, you know, it's taking a long fucking time.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time. Yeah. But you look amazing.
And you know what? And I feel like
you feel younger.
I'm supposed to be 52 because I feel like if things had come earlier.
Yeah. How weird. You're 52 and I'm 42. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is the same. This is where I always, and it's weird that I've always known 42, this is where you will be. And I'm still not there yet, but I'm also very, very much in that motion of like, oh no, we're about to like. It's going to be really, really freaking good.
Yeah, it feels really good. Yeah.
Well, what are we talking? I know last time we talked about, I know I was looking at our text messages to see, and I said we could do about sexuality, spirituality, self, which I feel like we kind of are moving into a little bit of that. Of just
I like that.
All right, well, let's just navigate this and see. I have no idea how this is going to look or sound like we ever freaking do.
I don't. And this is our season finale.
That's so sad. Do you know how many people have been asking, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? What are you guys doing? What is it? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, the grief episode got good feedback from my side.
People loved grief. People have been asking me too when we're coming back. But I think it's good for us to have our season finale so we can even plan what season two looks like.
When do you think we're going to bring season two back? Mm-hmm. After the new year, huh?
I think it's after the new year. And something tells me we'll be doing a lot of episodes in person. Yay! I feel it. I feel that too.
That's because I'm going to be in LA and you're going to be in LA and we're going to be in LA together. We're going to be in LA together. I'm telling you, I didn't join that place that I told you about, but I want to, but I don't know yet. Their podcast room is absolutely amazing, but okay. Regardless if we have a podcast room or not, I definitely think that we need to be in person anyhow.
Absolutely. We do.
We should do like a fun, I know I'm going to get so many hits if I say this right now. It'd be fun to do like a live recording with people.
That would be awesome. And okay. I pulled a card while we were talking. Mm-hmm. I pulled the Three of Discs from, this is from the Rachel True.
I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. From Rachel True from The Craft. This tarot deck, it's gorgeous. Like it's every card is like a work of art. But I pulled the Three of Discs, which is teamwork, mentorship, collaboration, and planning stages.
That's where we're going. That's where we're going.
In professional life, your hard work and ego sacrifices have not gone unnoticed. Progress and recognition may net you an investor who sees your vision.
Calling it in.
So there we go.
Calling it in. All right. Well, welcome to Motherland. Let's go. I know that's our goal. And I know a lot of it is just like, I think between me getting more clarity into my job and like trying to redo that website, and then we got to do our other stuff and it's going to work out.
We will. And As we're talking about like sexuality and spirituality, I love thinking of the idea, like the conversation that we were having like pre-show about just who we are and what we're stepping into, you know, and calling it whatever, queendom, divine feminine, as you were saying. But I think one of the things I've been thinking about is, for those of you who can't see, I started growing in my gray.
I noticed it. Looks pretty.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think part of this is like me just stepping into who I am. And this is no shade against people who color the gray. I mean, I colored it for years and one day I may decide to again, but there's this sense of you need to be exactly who you are right now and sort of just take off any masks. And that I think is also part of my sexuality and spirituality, not being able to be boxed, not being able to be told who I should be or could be, but letting it all come from within.
Well, I think when we talk about like you, when we've talked about it before, like you just stepping, there comes a stage where you step into your whole self and you start living in that space.
Yeah.
You can't box one thing up and then have the other box open. It has to be all boxes are flowing free. Mm-hmm. And there, the thing that I've been learning as I've been in my situation is that sense of security to open up all the boxes, you know. And I've been talking a lot to like the people, I say whatever people on TikTok and different things about like those different attachment styles, but in the sense mm-hmm. that we have to feel secure in ourselves in order to open up all of those boxes, right? So it's like I have to feel very secure to have all my boxes open and how I present myself. My sexuality right now is presented so freaking different than mm-hmm. I was presenting a year ago.
Whatever. Really? How so? Tell me.
I don't know if presenting is the right word, but like I think in the way that I'm showing up for myself, I feel so much more sexual than I have felt in a really long time. I mean, in a really long time. I'm very comfortable in my skin. I'm very comfortable with who I am. You know, that's why I was like, oh, I'm doing burlesque dancing because I freaking just want to do burlesque dancing or feeling into my sexuality or in my expression of like, you know, I don't care who listens. My sex game is different. That's an entirely freaking different game. Whether it's the comfortability of my partner, I don't know. Uh-huh. Like it's entirely different. But like, I think, yeah, like, that's kind of it. So I think that's just an outward expression of what I'm, the way that I show up for myself. Or I don't know how to explain it. The way that I look, the way that I feel, I don't know. Everybody's always like, now they're like, you look different. You feel different. Everybody's like, you're on this like glow up. You're mm-hmm. showing up differently. And I think it's just the comfortability of self. I'm like, well, yeah, that's just who I am.
I think owning menopause and not saying that like, oh, menopause is this thing that I have to manage. And it was in the beginning, I think, like the symptoms. And also acknowledging this beautiful transition that I'm going through, right? Like menopause is a threshold. And doing some things for myself, like HRT, actually kicked my sex drive back into gear. And just this sense of being a person who connects with the erotic no matter what I'm doing. Do you know? Mm-hmm. Like Audre Lorde used to talk about living an erotic life, even outside of sex, but just the way that you write. And I've been writing erotica actually. And like just being able to live life sensually, whether it's eating or working out. But I find myself finding pleasure in so many things that I didn't before. And I think there's a freedom for me that I'm over 50. And like, this is like the second half of my life that I'm supposed to really be enjoying. And it's really wonderful.
I like that.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I feel like, I mean, I have four kids. I was married for 17 years. Mm-hmm. But I feel like life is just starting for me.
Yeah, I think that's, and it is some way starting again, starting, you know, however you want to call it. I actually feel like parts of my life are just starting for the first time as well. And I don't want to say late bloomer. I think things happen when they're supposed to happen. But I think there was a lot of me holding on to external narratives Mm-hmm. Of what I thought my life was supposed to look like. Did you find?
Yeah, that's the whole reason I have a job. And that's the whole reason I have a job is when I coach people and letting go of those external narratives. But that's also what I had to do too, is letting go and shedding all those external narratives. You know, it sucks. I did a TikTok video recently that actually had a lot, was it TikTok? No, Instagram, and had a lot of feedback where I think I was, I don't know if it was TikTok or it doesn't matter. The point is I was sharing that kind of those factors. And I think what's hard is, we can hear spirit saying, just because we let go of our external factors or we let go of those certain beliefs doesn't mean that other people are going to as well. Right. And so I find now that as I become more comfortable in my own skin, as I become comfortable in my own self-expression, a lot of people don't know how to come to that. They don't understand it in a way. But the more comfortable I am in just knowing my sense of self, like, it matters, but it also doesn't matter. And I say it matters because at the end of the day, I still have feelings. So when somebody still says things, it can hurt or sting. But, I think we're always letting go of like the external narratives. And that's what we have to learn is like, who are you? Who are you? Mm-hmm. What brings me happiness doesn't necessarily bring you happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that I show up isn't necessarily the way you show up. And all of that's okay. All of that's okay, you know, and that's why I think you're a big one that talks about it. And I talk about it too, is the idea of perfectionism doesn't really exist. Well, it's a man-made factor. We don't even need to start where that actually freaking started from, right? We all know. If you listen to podcasts, you probably freaking know. So my point is like, it's not real. And we're all chasing this idea of being perfect. We're all chasing this idea of things, and it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So giving yourself that permission to create your life for yourself and what it looks like is a huge freaking factor. Mm-hmm. But it's scary as hell. Like, everybody's like, you know, that I work with is like, what's it going to look like? What does failure look like? What if I don't succeed? What if this doesn't work? Or what if that doesn't, or what if this? And I always tell people, you got to let go of the what ifs, and you have to just allow yourself to step forward and navigate it and see what happens. Because I don't think that any of us are ever in a situation that I can hear spirit saying, this sounds weird saying it, but that we're ever in a situation that we don't need to be in, meaning that the situation, that whatever good or bad that you're in, is where you need to be in that moment in order to learn whatever lesson that you're having to learn. And that sucks. I get it. I get there's a lot of things that we could say in that, but I think there's some truth in that too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I like that. I also don't think that there's imposter syndrome. You know,
you don't think there's imposter syndrome?
I think imposter syndrome is just more oppression and us believe swallowing narratives, and so we don't believe that we are who we are.
Interesting. That's an interesting thought.
I don't necessarily think it comes from self. I think it's swallowed stories from external that we've swallowed, so we fool ourselves into thinking that we're not worthy. But once we start to do exactly as you're talking about, that imposter syndrome, or people, society unconsciously telling us that we aren't worthy, we start to recognize, and we start to claim ourselves and claim all of ourselves.
So before we got on, I was telling you how, like, the other day I had that meeting with the book coach, and mm-hmm. we were going over what the book was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her, you know, this is what I want to write about, and this is what the book's looking like. And she was like, there's nobody out there doing that, you know? In summing up, it's basically calling bullshit on all the spirituality aspects, mm-hmm. calling bullshit on all of it, and how it all just comes back within yourself, and then giving the tools for that, as well as guiding the factors, of course. Like, we're not whitewashing the shit out of spirituality anymore. We're going to own for what it is, right? And then I moved from that meeting on to the other meeting of the donation, planning a donation drive, and then also talking about an event in LA. Mm-hmm. And all of this is activism work, as far as, you know, helping this side. So at the end of it, I very much at that end of those two calls was in, who the fuck am I, like, to say any of this fucking shit? I don't know what I'm doing. This is insane. like, who am I to talk about activism stuff or to speak up on this, or who am I to shake up the spiritual world? And so I very much felt like in that moment I was having an imposter syndrome. I don't know.
And yes, and what I mean is that there's no imposter syndrome. I think we think we're told through that whitewashing of spirituality that you've always talked about, mm-hmm. that imposter syndrome is us just not living up to our potential. And I'm like, no, I think that's centuries of oppression telling us that we aren't worthy. Mm-hmm. So I think imposter syndrome for Black, Brown, and Indigenous women looks different than it might for other people who have proximity to whiteness.
Oh, that 100%.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's 100%. I mean, that's the whole reason, you know, I think that like...
So is it imposter syndrome or is it shaking off of oppression?
I think shaking off of oppression.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it is, you know, and that's where I was on a rant the other day about this on a live, and I was saying that, you know, I finally realized like, yeah, I do life coaching and I do all of these things, but my goal is to be that voice, you know, mm-hmm. that voice for my people or that voice for Black, Brown, whatever, Indigenous people of color, to see somebody else out there in the spiritual field leading it versus the white person that's leading it right now, you know? And it's like, you don't see it. And everybody's like, you're right. There is nobody out there. And I'm like, yeah, there's no one out there because I'm not sellable. I'm not sellable. You know, the chick with the tattoos and the, you know, I'm going to cuss the hell out of shit. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not sellable. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, wearing the big crystal on my forehead or having the huge crown on. I'm not, you know, openly speaking my light language all the time or I'm not sellable. And I think that's one of the hardest things that I'm always like, I don't think it's, yeah. I don't know.
But the right people will be there. I think
we're moving into a different stage.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I think my memoir was a tougher sell at first to get repped because it wasn't a story that necessarily everybody was interested in hearing about. Like hearing about people who are incarcerated, like doing meditation, like, you know, most people don't want to think about that.
I think that's the beauty, though. I'm really interested in 2024 because I think a lot of us are moving into like we're becoming more realistic. People don't want the BS. People want it real. They want it raw. They don't want that BS part of like, mm-hmm. you know, don't give me the crap anymore. I want to know what works, what doesn't work, and I want to know how to do it versus let's make it a fairy tale and make it, you know, all the gimmicky and pretty and all that stuff. And I don't think people like that anymore.
No, I think people are interested in seeing things clearly for what they really are rather than what they want them to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because then they can actually make a change and things can actually make a difference.
Right. Right.
It's always been like, we're going to teach you a little bit, but we're not going to teach you everything.
Not going to teach you enough because we still want you to come back and buy our other stuff.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You need another yoni ball.
Never tried a yoni ball. Yeah.
No, you know what I mean. Like,
I know. I'm like, I've always thought about this.
And no shame to yoni balls, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
It's this whole idea of sort of giving people crumbs so they keep trying to come back for more rather than saying like, no, let's just really talk about it so you can step into your own power. And you don't need a teacher anymore.
That's the beauty of it.
We all teach each other because we're all in community together. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. It's a false sense of control. I'm going to give you enough, but I'm not going to give you everything. And it's like, no, that's not the way. I don't believe that's the way spirituality works. I think that's why I always say, like, you know, I think spirituality is a sense of like you coming into yourself, you finding what works for you, and you navigating it. And it's not going to look, like I said, it's not going to look the same for me as it looks for you.
And I think collective care is very sexy, to be honest with you. I think this idea of being in community and sharing resources and talking about, you know, what's really going on. I don't think there's anything sexier than talking about revolution and how to dismantle all this shit.
I need one of you in my life. No, I haven't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hot. Like, really? Like, let's talk about, I mean, it's amazing to be able to talk about that and to do it from a place of, like, joyful revolution, right? Like Alice Walker said, hard times require furious dancing. And that it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom when we're talking about it. And yeah, we can grieve and cry and be mad because we should. And we should be having sex and orgasms and enjoying life because both are necessary, right?
Yes. So. Both are definitely necessary.
Both are necessary.
You know, it's funny you say it like this, and I had this, this is just random. The other day I was talking to, I'm going to say my friend. I don't know what to call them. I was talking to my friend, and we were talking, I was asking about love languages, like what's your love language, right? And their response was acts of service. And I was like, oh, like in my head, I was like, well, that sucks because I'm all the way over here. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But their response was, it's not the acts of service for me. It's the acts of service for self. It's the acts of service that if you say you're going to do something and you say you're going to, like, okay, he didn't use this as an example, but I'm saying it, you know, like I'm going to plan a donation drive, right? And then you go out and you actually do what you're saying you're going to do, fucking hot.
I 100%.
And I'm like, oh, I love that.
You were like, oh my God.
Like, do you see why I'm having issues right now? Are we like, oh my God.
No, because that is people doing what they say they're going to do is hot. People taking care of themselves and each other is hot. Like it is. It's very, you know, it is sexy.
Yeah.
To sort of, you know, allow yourself to step into your own brilliance. How, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate it enough. And the fact that you're dating somebody who thinks that's hot, that is hot.
No, it is. I was like, oh my God, I was just like taken back. I was like, I've never thought of it like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Would you add other love languages? Because I feel like there's more than just the five love languages out there. I feel like that's what you need to do. You need to come up with Black, Brown, Indigenous love languages that are outside of this. Right, Chet?
Look how cute he is. Her dog is in the background and it's the cutest dog.
In a turtleneck.
A pit bull in a turtleneck doesn't get much cuter than that. Mine's like begging to get out. Yeah, there would be other love languages, I think. You know, I think one of the biggest things for me when I think of that, like what I find fucking sexy as hell, oh my God, this is, I guess in the line, like my eyes are actually getting watery. That means like I'm like excited about it, is drive. And I'm not talking about sex drive. I'm talking about your drive in life.
And for life.
You are driving for something. You are like, you're hustling, but you're achieving it. Oh my God, that's hot. Yeah. I literally sent him a message saying, I just want you to know that your hustle and your drive is so freaking attractive.
Yeah.
Like I was like, that is hot.
Uh-huh.
That's hot. I don't know if that's a love language, but I think
this is actually something I say we talk about in season two is reframing the love languages through our lens.
Mm-hmm.
The same love languages, but like looking at them differently, just like that, as acts of service, as being an act of service to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think, like you said earlier, like I think revolution is hot. Like I think in the sense that you are going to actually, you know, stand up for whatever it is, Black, Brown, Indigenous. Yep. Like you are a revolutionist. I think that's hot. You know, it's like okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know. That's one of those things that I.
Closing, you know, like, I don't know what, a reframing of physical touch would be.
I don't know. Open. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like the physical touch, maybe correct me if I'm wrong on this. That's what he said. Like, so, do you know what mine are? And he goes, physical touch is definitely one of yours. And I'm like, absolutely. But here's one of the things that I was going to say. I think that the love language of physical touch that we read it is so like, maybe it's because the person that actually wrote the love language books was a Christian. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, so I feel like they do need like
they're very like watered.
A reframing. Where
I'm like, you want to give, I'm going to talk to you about my physical touch.
So can we talk, is physical touch like, you know, talking about consent and BDSM and
you better throw me over this massage table and do something.
Like all of that kind of stuff goes under, you know, like that reframing of physical touch is like that. Like I think we always talk about it in sort of like these dainty,
that's
sort of
what I'm
generic,
saying.
These generic ways that are sort of like, you know, what's the word that whitewash is the word in, and I don't literally mean white, but just generic or vanilla. Vanilla is the word that I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's a good way. And that's the, what I was thinking too, when I was trying to say it without saying it, but like the physical touch is exactly, it's very vanilla. Mm-hmm. And whereas like, if you guys, I don't care who fucking listens. Mm-hmm. If you know how I really get down, it's like, I don't care. You flip me, dip me.
Uh-huh.
I'm here. I'm showing up.
Yep.
I'm showing up, you know?
And if you can articulate that, right? Somebody who can articulate who they are because they know who they are and can talk about the things that they want, like that's incredibly important. And I think all of that lends itself to, you know, this dismantling and this revolution and this collective care that we're talking about. Like it's all about really knowing who you are and knowing what you want and knowing how you're going to get there and being able to whole space for the people in your world to be able to do that too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest key there is that I don't think that, I'm interested. I'm actually getting a reading right now as I'm saying this, because you know, a lot of people are like read 2024. And I'm like, I can get like dips and glimpses. I think the false teachers or the people that aren't doing the work aren't going to show up anymore. They just can't. That's what I'm picking up on right now. They can't. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, unless you really are living the game and you're really doing the work, then that's it. And I really feel that coming into 2024, it's like, okay, who's still here? Because those people that are going to be remaining or successful or growing are the people that are actively, this is my real, this is who I am. This is me on an everyday life. Like what you guys hear, I think between me and Onika talking is me and Onika off screen too. Like off.
Yeah, this is exactly, that's even the idea that when we started working just the two of us together, that these were really just conversations that we would be having if no one else was listening.
But knowing yourself rawly, you know, like raw, like knowing that part of you is so important in order to show up and hold that space for other people, or else you just can't. You can't, you know. I don't know. I spirit still calls me out on my shit. Like I still get called out where I'm like, okay.
All the time. There's a teacher who I have a lot of respect for. He had posted on his stories, like, why do you have a spiritual practice? It was one of the questions. And I wrote, so I'm not an asshole. And he messaged me and he was like, I think that's the best answer I've ever read. And I'm like, it's true though. Like I really do practice so I'm not an asshole, because for so long I was so blocked from my own heart, and being blocked from my own heart made me mean, because I didn't know how to act, because I was so far away from myself, and my practice cracked my heart open so I could fall in love with myself and I could show up authentically. So that's why I continue to practice, so I don't go back to that place. And I recognize that. And I think that's important, you know, I think it's important to say, like, I'm not going to give you some bullshit answer like, oh, it's, you know, I used to be a dick and I don't want to be a dick anymore. I don't.
Yeah. No, I like that. I always tell people, I'm like, look, when we block our hearts because of whatever occurs to us in life, it's not just you blocking others out, but it's you blocking yourself out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important part. And that's why it's like, I'm always talking to people about like, be safe, you know, coming back into yourself, telling yourself I have permission to come back in. Mm-hmm. I allow myself to feel safe in my body. I allow myself these things.
Yep.
And so coming into that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. It's super intriguing. I'm just like, it's weird because like, as I'm talking to you, I can actually see the energy of like, how we embody and don't embody certain things. Like I'm looking at how like we live in such a way that most of us throughout the years haven't just embodied ourselves. We haven't come into ourselves, and then how we now moving into a different of embodiment of like, this is I'm truly embodying energetically myself on all like levels.
And sort of going back to love languages and like physical touch and your practice and sexuality, it's like learning how to touch yourself intimately, sensually, and, you know, whether it's masturbation or whether it's just sort of like being able to say to yourself, you're okay, right?
I don't care. I'm going to straight out say it. Everyone needs to masturbate.
Well, no, I mean, yes, absolutely. Like keeps the trauma away. But like, I think it's also this idea that there are different ways that we learn how to touch ourselves. But if we don't practice, right, if we don't have this place that we start from, where we know sometimes the touch that I need is like a warm hug, an embrace that I didn't get from maybe growing up, to, you know, sexual touch that feels safe and friendly because that was something that I didn't get, or I'm learning how to foster that. All of that, I think, should be a part of the spiritual practice. And we have to be able to talk about it without it, like, you know, people being like, oh, no, you can't say that. I mean, why can't I talk about masturbation and spirituality at the same time?
It goes hand in hand. There's so many people that manifest through
orgasm. Do you know how many times I've had an orgasm and I've manifested at the same time? Like
all the time.
And do you know, I used to do it on my own, and then I actually read that that's a thing, and I was like, well, goddamn, Amika, you are just really clever.
I didn't know
it was a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? God, I hope they don't listen to this podcast. Because it's true. You do manifest when you're – whatever you're thinking about or whatever you're focusing on during the course. You know, okay, rewinding a little bit before I go forward into the manifestation part. I was on this podcast, and it was not what I thought it was going to be. It was about talking about sex. It was like moms talking about sex. And so I was really intrigued and kind of like excited to kind of talk about it. But the person that was interviewing me kept wanting me to talk about my marriage. And I was like, that was a horrible sex marriage. Like sex was horrible. It was sexless by the end of it. Sorry, it's my dog. You know, there was just not. And she was like, well, how did you come into your own? How did you come into your own? Like, how did you find sex or things? And I don't think she guided the conversation correctly, but the answer was, I freaking learned how to love myself. Mm-hmm. And I mean that both by, I worked out, I did self-care, but I also fucking loved myself, right? Like I learned how to pleasure myself in ways that I was like, this is me coming into myself because I can't do it over here. Like I'm not getting what I need. So it's like, I always tell people, look, we oftentimes are looking at our partners or other people to give us what we are lacking within ourselves. Whether consciously or subconsciously, you're constantly being like, I need this, right? Just listen to the words that you're saying, like what you need from the person. Mm-hmm. When in reality, what you are seeking in the other person is what you need to be seeking in yourself and giving yourself. And when you find that balance, oh my God, game fucking changer.
Yes.
Right? And so somebody even in a live was like, how do we go from not needing somebody? And I'm like, by not putting that on them and giving yourself what you need, right? So if I'm feeling anxious or loveless or whatever it is, I need to give that to myself. If I'm not feeling sexy, I'm going to feel fucking hot sexy for myself, right?
Exactly.
There's reasons why, like for me, I'm like, I'll buy fucking matching lingerie, not for them.
Yeah.
Not for them, for me. And it's just about showing up for yourself in a way that's like, so that's one, but that podcast was horrible. It was a horrible podcast. She wasn't hitting it right.
I said no pun intended.
No pun intended. I thought that when I said it right now. I was like, she wasn't hitting it right. She wasn't hitting it right. And I was like, okay. So anyways, I had to teach myself how to hit it right. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, what it is. But the manifestation part of sex is so real. I was talking to somebody recently about that and just being powerful and knowing yourself. And it's like the thoughts that go in your head while you're having sex, you know, it's real. It's what you manifest. It's what you create in that moment. I'm trying not to say so much and I'm laughing in my head right now. It was like, yeah, like my person, right, is always like, what are you thinking? Like in the moment, I'm like, why are you asking me?
Why are you asking me what?
Don't ask me what I'm thinking. I think when he asked that the other day, I was like, that I'm thankful that I'm flexible. but I think there was a moment too that he looked at me and he goes, I fucking love when you look at me like that.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a moment I was like manifesting in my head.
Yeah.
It was a moment that he caught my eyes manifesting. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I love when you look at me like that. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know what I'm looking at you, but it was a moment that a manifestation. Yeah. And I say that because I very much manifest during that time. So
yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah. It's powerful. It's really powerful.
I have a friend of mine. Well, she's not a friend anymore, but she's an acquaintance. And I think her and her partner manifest. They're very well aware of each other's manifestations during that course of time. So then they're increasing the energy.
Wow.
So they're very much aware that they're coming together to manifest whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I mean, well,
That would be like.
Well, you hear, I mean, couples having sex, right? And a baby's born and you know at that moment what's going on too.
Uh-huh.
And that power.
What?
You know, when people conceive and there's a moment that everybody knows that you got pregnant right at that moment. And
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I tell people that sometimes when I read them, I'm like, you're going to know it. Like as soon as you get pregnant, you'll know you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's switch the subject off that. Let's mosey on.
Okay.
What were you saying? We had sexuality, spirituality, and self, but it all goes hand in hand. I don't know where else.
Yeah, it does. It does. No, I think this feels good. I think that feels like a good place to stop.
That's it? That was our conversation?
Do we have more to say?
No, I think we don't have any more to say. I think our conversation was just about, we talked about more sex than I thought we were going to talk about. But we did talk a lot about sex. What do you say? Really?
No, I know. That doesn't surprise me though.
Oh, that we're, yeah. I don't know. Both freaks probably.
Yeah. you really thought any different?
No.
And those of us who know me and who know you actually are like, yeah, I mean.
I know. I have, oh my God, I got to share off stuff off this. But I think the important part though is for people to understand like, just to, like you said, breaking away from the barriers of like what people are telling you things are and allowing yourself to just feel safe. I think it's feeling safe in your exploration.
Yeah, it's you understanding that you're the safe space and going at a pace that is safe for yourself. Like if even using masturbation as an example, if even the word masturbation freaks you out and that is not something that you've done or you can explore, then take it a little bit at a time. Read a sexy story first to start, right? Like do
ooh,
it.
Be it do sexy. It, yeah. I erotica know. Is amazing, guys.
Erotica. Amazing. Like, you know, do it in a way that you feel like you're dipping your toe in a little bit at a time. And I think that goes with, you know, embracing your whole self and your sexuality. Go at a pace that feels right for you. You don't have to do it the way that other people did it, but do it in a way that's authentic. And only you know when you're lying to yourself.
And I think the biggest thing in people like always like, how do you love myself, right? Like people have body images or people look at themselves in a way. And I think the thing is like you have to learn how to how do you guys want to word that? I'm asking guys, letting your body feel sexy, like letting me feel sexy regardless of who's with me, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel sexy no matter who's with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. It's yeah, like, it does. I don't know how to explain that other than just allowing yourself to feel like I feel sexy no matter what. I don't mm-hmm. need that affirmation from somebody else. You know,
yep.
It's like,
yep.
If I want to take, that's why if you guys have followed my journey, people will see like, you know, if I take sexy photos, it's not because I'm taking sexy photos for the validation of others. I'm taking sexy photos for the validation of me
mm-hmm.
because it makes me feel like a woman. It makes me feel what I need in that moment, mm-hmm. right? If I buy matching lingerie, I buy the matching lingerie to make me feel in that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just doing it for yourself, I guess.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. That's it.
So we will see you next season.
Next season. Ah!
We'll see you in 2024.
It's not that far. It's only 6 weeks away.
Oh.
That's so close.
Have the new year that you're supposed to have, everyone.
Yes.
Sending you lots of love.
Lots of love.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.